Good morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, finally, 13 days after, we celebrated on New Year's Day the feast of Saint Basil the Great, our blessed hierarch of the church from Caesarea in Cappadocia, Asia Minor. We will be cutting our parish Vasilopita after the service today. And of course, we look forward to having all of you with us, and so that we can fulfill this wonderful, most ancient tradition of our church, that of the Vasilopita, or the bread of Saint Basil. As I've said, Saint Basil was the bishop of Caesarea in Cappadocia, Asia Minor. Our pilgrimage was there last spring, and some of the city walls still remain that Saint Basil would have blessed. He encountered barbarians at one time just outside the city walls, and this is what brings to us the celebration of the Vasilopita. For they had known that an attack upon the city was imminent. And so what Saint Basil did was gathering together some translations use a ransom, I'm not going to say ransom, but he pulled together an offering from each of the members of the households of the faithful in his city, because he wanted to put together something that he could give to the attacking horde so that they might take that as a ransom and walk away. And so everyone thought this was a good idea. It was a new idea, especially if the bishop is asking for it. And so they all contributed something. And when the encountering army was met at the gates, not with an opposing army, but rather of a simple bishop that had these things to give to them, they were embarrassed and they turned away. And there was no attack on that day. And so there was Saint Basil looking at all these things. Now, what am I going to do with all these things? And so what he did is he just decided, because they didn't have names on them, of course. It was just in a big basket. So he put each a little bit of everything and put them in loaves of bread and distributed them to the faithful. And the beautiful miracle that took place is that which each and every person gave to the church to defend the city happened to be in their bread. And from this began to be the tradition of the church. St. Basil beginning it is putting offerings of alms to those who are in need, baking them in bread and leaving them for people. And so this is why we continue that tradition with the baking of St. Basil's bread on New Year's. And rather than hiding a jewel or something, there is a coin that's placed within the Vasilopita. And whoever receives that coin, again, if you read anything about the Vasilopita, it'll say you'll get good luck throughout the year. The church doesn't distribute luck. The church gives blessings from God. And so whoever is able to find that one coin, as you're cutting the individual pieces, beginning with our Lord and the Theotokos, and then the head of a household, or as we are going to do today after church, for the heads of each individual ministry, or organization, or entity in Orthodoxy around the world, you cut a piece, and whoever gets the coin has not the luck, but has the blessings. A Vasilopita can be cut for any group. In my former parish, we would do one for the school, we would do one for the choir. Every individual group had their own Vasilopita. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about as if we had a Vasilopita to be able to speak and commemorate each of the key individuals that are in today's gospel reading. This the Sunday following the celebration of Epiphany. You heard my knife banging around a couple times. I have a Vasilopita. And we're going to cut it. And hopefully I won't drop the spear again. We read in today's Gospel of St. Matthew, at that time Jesus heard that John had been arrested. And so, as typically, what we're going to do, these two people that we just heard, I'm going to cut a piece for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Take one of those. Thank you. Sam, why don't you come and get this? Don't eat it yet. You're receiving communion. In any home, in any organization, we begin with the bread of life, the good bread, as our Lord called himself so that we could understand him. This gospel reading begins. The first person mentioned is God himself, for he has just himself been risen from the waters of the Jordan. And now he is fully formed in every way before God his Father and before man. And he is ready to begin his earthly ministry, in order that we can properly understand that indeed the second person of the Trinity has taken on life within our reality, within our world, and dwelling among us, and dwelling with us, and dwelling as us. He is our Lord and our God. And in the first time in all of creation, God is realized as a human, so that we can appreciate, and we can learn from, and we can be ministered to by him, and so that we could be led unto salvation. But who did Jesus hear that had been arrested? John. We're going to cut a piece for the Baptist. Thank you. Here you go, Jackson. No crumbs, please. John, the greatest prophet ever born of a woman, as he is described to us by our Lord. He's the last prophet of the Old Testament. He's the first prophet of the New Testament. It is he who was deigned to baptize our Lord in the River Jordan. Before our Lord consented to be baptized, the thousands, the hordes were gathering down at the Jordan River, far away in the wilderness, out towards Jericho, from Jerusalem. And John was baptizing for the remission of sins. That's as far as his baptism could take the people. They would be cleansed of their sins, but it would not be until Jesus Christ's baptism that we could fully understand what the forgiveness of sins means. And to be forgiven of our sins means to be restored to God, to be allowed back into the kingdom, to once again be in union with him as he desired our relationship to be. He didn't sever that relationship. We severed that relationship. But our Lord, in his creative command, in his long-suffering love, and in his desire, through John, showed us the way back into salvation, and that is to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The gospel reading from today continues, he withdrew in Galilee and learning and leaving Nazareth, he went and dwelt in Capernaum by the sea, in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. Now obviously, at the time of this writing, Capernaum was not the Jewish stronghold that it was by the time our Lord lived there. There was an ornate synagogue whose ruins still stand to this day that can be visited. So what I want to do at this point then is cut a piece for all of these Galileans, these Capernaunians, these Zebulunites, and these Naphtalis. We'll cut a piece for all of these people who dwelled in this beautiful region. Thank you. Luke, come here, Nico. In the contemporary day of our Lord, Capernaum was a small fishing village that is set on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. It was known as his own city. In fact, when you visit it today, there's a large plaque on the city gate that says, the town of Jesus, as if it were Graceland or something. But they really want us to be able to understand that this city, this village, this area was a stronghold and a presence of our Lord. So this piece that we just cut for all of those in this region, specifically of Capernaum, is for those who closely encountered Jesus in his ministry. Because much took place that we read about in the New Testament regarding this small place. This place where people once sat in darkness and were hidden in the shadows. Outside the city of Capernaum is where Matthew the tax collector encountered Christ. This is where Peter's mother-in-law was cured. This is where the centurion's servant was healed. This is where the friend was lowered through the roof by his four friends so that he could encounter Christ. These are some of the things that took place in this holy city where they were able to encounter our Lord. Matthew continues, that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, toward the sea and across the Jordan. Now this prophecy, of course, comes to us from the prophet Isaiah. We're going to cut a piece of the Vasilopita for the prophet Isaiah. Jacob, come over here. Thank you. The prophet Isaiah lived some 700 years before Christ. He was an 8th century BC major prophet of the Old Testament who took about 15 years to cover and to write down his 66 chapters. Largely what the prophet Isaiah did was to denounce the Jews for their lack of faith, to prophesy that they would indeed be led into captivity by the Babylonians, and then also prophesize that they would be freed from their captivity. One of the greatest prophets that ever was able to write a book for us. Scripture continues, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in a region and a shadow of death, light has dawned. Now we're going to begin to cut pieces that represent us. We're going to cut a piece for these Gentiles. Thank you, Luke. Here you go, Kellen. Those in the region of Capernaum, when we engage those who have a close relationship with Christ, now as Gentiles, we're going to commemorate those individuals who will enjoy a relationship with Christ, who will be introduced to Him, who will have an understanding of Him. They will enjoy this beautiful proximity. Gentiles simply meant those as the ones who were sitting in darkness in the shadows. Means that they were literally of a clan or a tribe that was different. In other words, the Gentiles were the non-Jew. In other still words, they were the outsiders. In Greek, we say what? Xeni. Not a nice word. It means visitor from another place, but when we refer to someone as Xeni, that's what they are. They're like Gentiles. They're outsiders. They're not of us. The Gentiles were, of course, religiously separated from the Jews. They were politically separated from the Jews. They were culturally separate. They were societally separated. They were all lower classes in the eyes of the children of God. And these were the people that were sitting in darkness. And this, my brothers and sisters in Christ, brings us to why we have this gospel reading on this Sunday. Because when we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, we celebrate the fact that we no longer sit in darkness. Because the light of lights has entered into our existence. The world is no longer darkened because the light of heaven has descended upon us. We no longer look into the sky and see the stars illumining, seeing the moon shining, seeing the sun with radiance upon us. These are all very minor understandings of light once Jesus Christ had come into the world and taken away the shadows and taken away the place where evil and sin and vice can hide and seek and lurk. The sun is spread all over, and He offers this brightness and this radiance unto eternal life. This is the beauty of the feast of Epiphany. And from that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent. Here's a piece for those who repent, the repentant sinners. Jonathan? If we're going to know Christ, we have to be repentant. If we're going to follow Christ, we have to be repentant. If we're going to understand, join, and emulate Him, we have to be repentant sinners. We acknowledge our sin. We don't celebrate it, but we own it. And we offer it to God through the sacrament of penance, through the contrition of our heart, through a knowledge that our good and loving God, no matter what we do before His face in shame, removes that shame and offers, instead of it, life everlasting. This was the message of the Baptist in the Jordan. This is the message that is completed and fulfilled in Christ, that gives the blessing of the fruits of repentance, which is everlasting life indeed. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand, this gospel finishes. And now we're going to cut a piece for those who find our Lord and have been encountered by Him. This is the greatest piece of all. This is the piece that represents salvation, that represents eternal life. Thanasi? Thank you. Oh, Thanasi. You got the coin. That wasn't planned. This greatest piece, it's for each and every one of us. Those who have been repentant, those who have once sat in darkness, those of us who still sit in darkness at times, but are able through His loving compassion and His mercy, we're able to receive the gifts of light that comes to us at this time. The generosity and the creativity and the love that St. Basil was able to show those who were under his spiritual direction were able to avert calamity and were able to avoid danger. And this is the ministry of not only him, but of all the saints, and primarily the Theotokos, that they can celebrate for us this light that has dawned in the world. So we celebrate on this day not only our cutting of the Vasilopita as a community, but as a Christian family in awe of the gift of light that has come to us in the Feast of Epiphany. God revealing Himself to this world, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as light in the world. Amen.